Amen. Praise God for sacred music. I appreciate each one within the item roster that goes to the effort to coordinate specials. And thank you to all of you that are willing to sing to the glory of God. I wish I could, but I'm glad that you do and you can. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 45. The title of my sermon this morning is "The Real Issue is God." The real issue is God. Note here in Genesis chapter 45, verses 5 to 8. Genesis chapter 45. Verses 5 to 8. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your precious word. Thank you for the sacred music that we've just heard. And we bless you, O God, that one day we will see you face to face. And until that day, O God, I pray that you'd help us to seek your glory and to honor you in every way. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. It is often the case that a presenting issue is not the real issue. And this can be due for a number of reasons, or due to a number of reasons. The most common cause is there's a lack of honesty in some way, or there might be a lack of discernment in some way. So therefore, the issue, the presenting issue, is not the real issue. And I'd like to propose to you this morning that as we study the life of Joseph, the issue is God. He is the issue. It's all about God. The life of Joseph is not about Joseph. It is not about his brothers. In fact, that's not about Jacob, Israel. It's about God. We see that from verses 5 to 8. God. 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 We have just witnessed in verses 1 to 5 a sweet reunion between Joseph and his brothers. And we studied this little passage on Sunday evening last week, and I'd like to encourage you, if you weren't here for that, to download the message. I believe there are some very valuable principles that you and I need to be mindful of if we are to enjoy sweet reunion from time to time. We noted the fact that in order for there to be sweet reunion, there needs to be face-to-face. There needs to be emotion, there needs to be communication. Face to face, the expression of emotions, genuine emotions. Joseph 5 times let out his emotions before his brothers. 5 times. And then communication. What kind of communication? Confession. I am Joseph. Honesty. I'm Joseph. Confession. Concern. Is my father yet alive? A concern for others. When there's a concern for others, there will be sweet communion. Not a selfish mindset. Confession, concern, clear communication. Joseph spells out, I am Joseph, your brother, that you sold into slavery. There's no doubt as to he was Joseph. Clear communication. Not ambiguous statements that imply one thing or another. Compassion. There's to be sweet reunion, there must be compassion. Verse 5, he said, be not grieved, nor be angry with yourselves. No doubt Joseph had a forgiving spirit. He decided at some point that this is not about me, it's not about my brothers, it's about God. God has led me here. Father, forgive them. I forgive them. Compassion, not condemnation, compassion. And then we stress the fact that if we are to enjoy sweet communion within our communication, there needs to be an understanding of the cause. What's all this about? And Joseph said, hey, it's God that has sent me here. Oh, he used you blokes, but God sent me here. The cause. And we understand that it's all about God. So we see from verses 1 to 5 a sweet communion. And Joseph warns that there are still 5 years of famine remaining. In verse 6. And with this reminder, Joseph spells out very clearly that the real issue here is not about you, it's not about me, it's about God and what God is doing. And beloved, I'd like to encourage you concerning the fact when it comes to the workings of God, in your life and in my life, it's not about you, it's not really about me, it's about God. And if there is to be transformation, if there is to be even reconciliation, we need to see God, put God in the picture. Note then verse 5, a reference to God. Verse 7, God. Verse 8, God. The real issue is God. It's not about Joseph, it's not about the brothers, it's really not about Jacob, Israel. The real issue here is God. And the real issue in your life and the real issue in my life is God. But Pastor, you don't understand my issues. It's not the issue. The issue is about God. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand what I'm going through. Hang on, that's not the real issue. The real issue is God. God. It's not about you, it's not about me, it's about God. Oh, I wish we could grasp that. Joseph didn't say it's about me, it's about me, it's about me. God, God, God. Note then verse number 7, first and foremost this morning, where he said to his beloved brothers, God and God sent me. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, perpetuity, a remnant, to save your lives by a great deliverance. God sent me. The providence of God, the works of God. And concerning what's happening in your life and in my life, the issue is God. And you and I need to ask the question, what is God doing? No, not what is happening to me. What is God doing? Joseph said, God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity. That word posterity is not the word prosperity, it's the word remnant or perpetuity. In other words, God has sent me before you that there might be a remnant, that there might be some perpetuity. And God has sent me before you to magnify the works of God, to save your lives by a great deliverance. See, in Psalm 78, verse 7, the Bible reads, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. My friend, the real issue in your life, in my life, is God. By that we mean, we need to ask the question, what is God doing through what He is allowing in my life? It's as simple as that. What is God doing? And Joseph had the insight to say, God is preserving a people. And God will show him, will show Himself strong on the behalf of His people. The workings of God. What is God doing in your life? That is the real issue. Not what is happening to you, but what is happening within you and around you. See, it's not a matter of what happens to you. It's a matter of what's happening within you. That really matters. One author put it this way. The certainty that God's will, not man's will, is the controlling reality in every event shine through as the basis for reconciliation in this passage of Scripture. He who is spiritual, the author said, can perceive the hand of God in every event, and therefore he or she, if the need arises, can forgive for the wrong or the ill treatment they feel they have received. Because they see God. The workings of God. What is God doing? My friend, the issue in your life, the issue in my life at hand that's plaguing your mind even right now, it's not the issue. The issue is God. What is God doing? Ask yourself that question. What is God doing? What will God do through what I'm experiencing? See, Joseph had the insight to say, hey, God has sent me. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. The workings of God. What is God doing? Note then verse number 8. The real issue is God. And you and I need to ask the very question, what is God doing in my life? That's the real issue. And secondly, you need to ask the question, what has God done in me? Or what is God doing within me? What is God doing and what is God doing within me? Look at verse number 8. Are you still with me? Look at verse number 8. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He's stressing that point. Hey, it's God that sent me to Egypt. It wasn't you, fellas. Yeah, God used you clunks to sell me into slavery. But by the providence of God, I'm in Egypt. I could have been shipped off to Babylon. Or who knows where? Egypt, the most powerful empire of that day. Prosperous, powerful. Here I am, second in charge. That's God. Look at verse 8. He goes on to say, and he, that is God, hath made me a father to Pharaoh. Listen, brothers, this is about God, what God is doing. And brothers, Joseph is saying to them, let me remind you, God sent me here, and you know what God has done in my life? I am considered a father to Pharaoh. Pharaoh looks up to me and seeks counsel of me. Joseph is 39 at this point. It's been 22 years since he was sold into slavery. Not 29, I miscalculated the other week. I don't know if you picked that up. If you were listening, you should have picked that up. Yes, you should have. And sometimes you read these commentaries and they say 29 as well. And I noticed this week, as I was reading, they were saying 22, 22, 22. Ah, they're wrong. It's 29. So I went back. No, he was sold into slavery at 17. And I thought I was good at math. And he is elevated to that position in Egypt at the age of 30. That's only 13 years. And then there's 7 years of good. And there's been another 2 years of bad. There's 5 to go. Anyway, that's beside the point. But Joseph said to his brothers, look at verse number 8, he hath made me a father to Pharaoh. This is what God has done in my life in sending me to Egypt. I am as a father to Pharaoh, one that Pharaoh looks up to for guidance, as a child should look up to their own father for guidance. God has made me a father to Pharaoh. That's the workings of God. He's in charge, but he sees me as his counselor. That's the workings of God. And also note then verse number 8, and Lord of all his house. Pharaoh has given me responsibility, oversight over all of his goods. Look at verse number 8. Not only that, he has made me a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Note the word father. You got that one? Father, Lord, ruler. And Joseph said in all that, God did it. God did it. This is what God has done in my life. 22 years has not been wasted. This is what God has done in my life. Here I am, second in charge, a father, a lord, a ruler. Beloved, what is God doing in your life? See, God is at work. What is God doing? And what is God doing in your life? What is God doing in my life? That is the issue. It's all about God. Oh, but Pastor, you don't understand my circumstances. They're a little bit rough. Things are not going my way. Beloved, it's not about you. It's about God. The works of God. And what God wants to do in you and through you. And Joseph worked it out. 22 years. He worked it out. Well and truly. See, the brothers were responsible for Joseph's sufferings. Yes, they physically threw Joseph into a pit, sold him into slavery. Yes, they did that. They rejected him. They grabbed him, tore off his coat of many colors, threw him in a pit. At that given moment, they sold him into slavery. But God used them to accomplish his divine purpose. See, it is not what happens to you, it's what happens within you and around you. What God is doing, that's the issue. And beloved, this morning, can I just stress that? The real issue in your life and in my life, it's not you. I'm sorry, it's about God. The works of God and what God wants to do in your life and how God wants to shape you and equip you to bring glory to His name. Whatsoever you eat, drink, or do to the glory of God. So whatever difficulties or testings or trials you and I find ourselves in, it is not about us, it's about God. It's about God. Quickly turn to Psalm 76. Verse 10. I'd like to prove this point. This is why, in understanding the real issue, to any issue in my life, in your life, it's about God. What is God doing? And what is God doing? What has God done in my life? Psalm 76. You got that one? Look at verse 10. Oh, I'd love to preach a whole sermon on this one day. Look at this. Look at this. Psalm 76, verse 10. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. What does that mean in essence? That God can take the evils of man, the wickedness of man, the wrongs of man, and God can still get praise out of it. That gives me goosebumps thinking about it. You mean God is able to take the wrong that I experienced, the wrong that I've seen, God is able to take all evil and somehow turn that around and glorify His name? Yes! That's what the Bible teaches. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. The remainder of wrath shalt thou restrain. In other words, God will either use the wrong and praise His name, or God will pour out His wrath in due season upon wrong. Wonderful verse. Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. So the wrong that those brothers did to Joseph, that wrong, through that, God is praised. And this is the essence of what Joseph is sharing with his brothers. It was God that sent me here. It's the workings of God, and this is what God has done in my life. He has made me a father, a lord, a ruler. Beloved, what has God done in your life? And what is it that God wants to do in your life? That's the real issue. It's about God. And if we understand that, then we will respond accordingly. Look at verse number 9. Joseph went on to say, haste ye, go up to my father. Back in Genesis 45, verse 9. Haste ye, quickly, diligently. Note the wording, go up to my father. It's no longer your father, my father. And say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not. What does God want you to do? In understanding it's about God, the workings of God, and what God is doing within you. Okay, how do we respond to that? What is it that God wants us to do with that? God is purposeful. So what God allows in your life has an end in view. Do you think God allows you to suffer for the sake of suffering? Yes or no? Of course not. There's an end in view. So what is it that God wants us to do? So Joseph is saying, hey, God has done all this. God has orchestrated all of this. Yes, you sold me into slavery, but really it was God that was in control. God has worked. Here I am, a father, a lord, a ruler. To what end? Haste ye, go back to my father and tell dad, your son Joseph speaking. Pack your bags. You're moving to Egypt. Look at verse 10 and 11. Thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen. And thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children, thy children's children, and thy flocks and thy herds, and all that thou hast. Look at verse 11. And there will I nourish thee, for yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. This is what Joseph will do for his family. And then look at verse 12 and 13. He affirms the fact that he is Joseph. And behold, your eyes see, and the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that it is my mouth that speaketh unto you. This is Joseph. They must have still have been in shock. They must have still given Joseph some funny looks. Now, you've had those funny looks that say to the effect, I'm not with you. Where are you going with this? And Joseph had the discernment. Hey, I am Joseph. Look at verse 13. And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt, and of all that ye have seen, and ye shall haste and bring down my father hither. So Joseph is saying, okay, God has brought me to Egypt. It's the workings of God. This is what God's done in my life. Okay, how are we going to respond to that? Go home, tell Dad, pack your bags, come and live with me. There are still 5 years of famine. It's not getting any better. I'll look after you. I'll provide for you. And look at verse 14 and 15. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. See, this is sweet communion. Emotions. Whenever there's sweet communion, there ought to be emotions. If there are no emotions, a measure of emotion, then there's, I would, based upon the authority of the Word of God, there's probably an issue. Look at verse 15. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. 5 times Joseph expresses emotion. This is the third main time. There's 2 more times. Joseph invites them down to Egypt. This invitation to Jacob and his family to live in Egypt is a fulfillment of a prophecy given to Abraham. Go to Genesis chapter 15, please. I'm almost done. Bear with me. Genesis 15, verses 13 to 16. And he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And they shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Got it? On the same page? This is a prophecy that God gave to Abraham. And we see it fulfilled in the life of Joseph. Verse 14. And also that nation whom they shall serve, will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. That is, the nation of Israel will leave Egypt with great substance. And they did. When they left Egypt, they came out with silver and gold and you name it. Look at verse 15. And thou shalt go to thy father in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. That's another sermon. This invitation to Jacob and his family to live in Egypt is a fulfillment of prophecy given to Abraham. One day you will go into isolation in a foreign country. You will multiply greatly without losing your national identity. And you'll come out of that country with great substance. See, my friend, God is the issue. God is the issue in your life. God is the issue in my life. Oh, but Pastor, no, it's God. But Pastor, you don't understand what's happening in my life. It's all about God, the workings of God, and what God is doing within you for His glory to move you on. And God was moving the nation on. Okay, haste ye, pack your bags, come down to me. So what is it that God wants you to do? Don't be slothful. Haste ye. God is at work. So it is with us. Our circumstances is not the issue. The issue is God. His workings and the work that He is doing within us and through us for His glory. See, God is in the process of building a nation. When Jacob eventually said yes and led his family to Goshen, there were only 70. 70, 7-0. That was the extent of the family. But within that time in Goshen, God built a nation. So my friend, listen to me. Haste ye. What is it that God wants you to do? God is at work. God is at work within us. God has made me a father. God has made me a lord. God has made me a ruler. It's all about God. Because God is God. And He is worthy of glory. Oh, but Pastor, I just want deliverance. Please. Now hang on, that's not the issue. It's about God. The workings of God and the work of God in your life, in my life. So therefore, haste ye. What is it that God wants you to do? Why has God brought me to Egypt? To preserve a posterity. And to give the evidence of a great deliverance for God's people. Joseph could see it. He's trying to help his brothers. Do you see it, boys? Do you see it? No, it wasn't you blokes that sent me to Egypt. It was God that sent me to Egypt. You could have sold me to any slave trader passing by. Or any merchant passing by. They could have been on their way to Babylon. But they're on their way to Egypt. And in Egypt I was sold into slavery. And because I was sold into slavery, I became a slave within the Egyptian Empire. Is that all a coincidence? Talk to me, brothers. I can just imagine. Talk to me. I know I'm exaggerating a little bit. Think about it, brothers. Come on, Judah, put your thinking cap on. Reuben, you're the elders. Get with it, man. Think about it. It's God that's brought me here. This is of God. It's not about you. It's about
God.
And my friend, this morning, it's all about God. And the sooner you and I see that, accept that, the sooner you and I can move on, haste ye, and get down to Egypt. Because God has a purpose. And all of God's people said, we'll continue tonight. We'll continue tonight. Let's bow for prayer.